In May, the National Endowment for the Arts awarded a $10,000 grant to Concert Nova for its production of The Bradbury Tattoos, a new opera Concert Nova commissioned, and it will be performed in July. Based on four stories by the great science fiction writer Ray Bradbury, the libretto is by local playwright and dramaturg Michael Burnham, and the score is by Zach Greenberg. I'm delighted to welcome them into the studio along with Concert Nova's producing artistic director, Ted Nelson. Ted and Michael, how did you choose Bradbury stories? I know that you'd been kicking around some projects for a while, so what led you to Bradbury?
Well, the project started before that, actually, when my wife, Ixie Chen, introduced me to Zach, and we discussed a variety of things, which led to the idea of some kind of operatic project. And while I was thinking about several books that might be likely sources for text, so I had a coffee meeting with Michael, where I put a couple books down on the table and we started talking about opera. And as he recalls, after we talked for a while, I slid one book off the table and slid The Illustrated Man towards him because the stories make a lot of sense as opera, really.
And he's being literally truthful. The one book, it was Kipling, just sort of disappeared from the table. And the other one in slow motion came across at me.
Well, let's talk about The Illustrated Man, which was first published in 1954 and is a series of stories. Well, you tell the story.
Well, they're linked to an illustrated man, meaning a tattooed man, meaning a man who was tattooed by a witch whose eyes were sewed shut and her ears were sewn shut and her mouth still worked and apparently her fingers still worked. She completely covered him. And the stories are tattoos. So I guess part of the bewitching, too, is that when it gets dark out, the tattoos start to move. So we went through the book, the bunch of us, and we picked stories that we thought spoke to us individually. And then we asked each other, can we do this? And eventually it came down to four. So we have four very unique stories. Their only link is that they supposedly were all on this guy's body. But otherwise, they're four very separate stories, except thematically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the heart of all of them is pretty similar in a very different way.
Zach, how did you and Michael work together to create this musical landscape from four very different stories? Although there is that thematic link you were saying.
Well, we were trying to figure out if we wanted to start with the music or the libretto. And we thought since it's an adaptation of Bradbury that it should all come from the word. So Michael started. Right. Well, kind of, actually. We picked the stories. And then I read the stories again, like I would a script if I was doing a film score. And I kind of scored it out as I was hearing cues. And then I sent that to Michael, who then drafted that down and sent it to me, who then drafted that into a rough score. And then we've been doing that since.
Which stories are they?
So the four stories are the story that's called The Last Night. And it's about the last night of the world.
The last night of the world.
Yeah. And it's just a very simple story about people who realize that the world's going to end around midnight. And then there's Kaleidoscope, which is a space vehicle story in which a rocket runs into a little trouble and blows up. And it's the story of what happens after it blows up. And then there's a story called The Highway, which is about a lot of the way I tell this story, although it's not the way everybody tells it, I guess. It's about a lot of first world people running from some kind of an explosive holocaust. And the last group of people out are in a very broken down car, and it breaks down by some peasant's place. And they deal with the peasants, but it's from the peasant's point of view. And peasants is the wrong word, I'm sure. But it's third world people looking at first world people who are totally panicked and seeing what happens. So that's the third one. And the fourth one, what did I leave out?
0 Hour is the story of a very different kind of Martian invasion. And when Zach and I first talked, I had just gone to see the opera Parsifal, which is very long and very little happens on stage. And I was rereading some of these stories, thinking about opera, and I realized that all of these Bradbury stories are essentially conversations, which are very easily translated into script form and into sung form and still contain the drama and the interest of the story. The heart of the story is there, even without visuals of exploding rocket ships, mm-hmm, or nuclear holocausts. the heart is still there in the story, in the dialogue.
Well, you mentioned that these stories are based on tattoos, and tattoos do play a role in this. So let's talk about the tattoos and the artist.
I started tracking the Instagrams of a lot of local tattoo artists and looking through the galleries on various tattoo shops. And I ran across Stephen Mast, who is, well, he's based in Cincinnati and San Diego. He's a tattoo artist. He also builds surfboards. Fascinating guy with a tremendous knowledge of the history of tattoos and the traditions. And his insight into the character that is being brought by his visuals, he's created what are traditionally called flash sheets, which are sheets of drawings, which would then be easily put on as tattoos. So he's created sheets of these for each scene, as well as some other images, which will also be animated as part of the production and projected. And even though the tattoos themselves don't actually play into any of the stories, I feel like given when the stories were written and what a tattooed man meant in the 1950s, his tattoos and the atmosphere that they bring to the stories are really meaningful.
Did they have any impact on your music, Zach?
Yeah, definitely. And Stephen in general did. And another vein of his is he's a guitar collector. So the team's super interesting because we all obviously have this connection of this piece and of our artistry. But outside of that, we all have these weird little connections individually. So Stephen and I talked a lot about the music, and another part of it was Parsifal, but it was also right after Bowie died. And so the whole thing was kind of written in that mindset in a way, of, at least of story and of non-traditional and of this rock thing. And that's kind of Stephen's world, is that obviously, you know, he collects guitars and builds surfboards and does tattoos. So that's like, he's kind of the poster child for the whole project.
Well, how is this music going to be scored? It's been billed as a rock opera.
Yeah. And we had thrown around a lot of different words, and that's what we started with. And then we were like, okay, now that we have a piece, do we think that that's the right wording? And we decided that it was. And it's definitely not a traditional rock opera either. Each movement's very different, from a classic string quartet to a big band piece. You know, there's a lot of rock in there. There's some sort of, I've been thinking of it as Southwest Impressionism for one piece. But we thought that the idea of a rock opera, we're really doing the core of that, which is that any rules that there are meant to be broken, and that whatever you come in thinking it is going to sound like, it shouldn't. And that, I think, to me, is what a rock opera is.
Tell us briefly about the cast and your director.
Well, we are super happy that we brought Kelvin Chan back to Cincinnati from Poland, and he's our director. He has been doing a lot of work in Poland with an experimental theater group. He brings just great insight in terms of drama. He's also a singer, so he brings a lot of knowledge of opera and how to work in that setting.
Ted, who's in the cast?
We've assembled a cast of 9 singers who, between them, perform about 20 roles over the course of the 4 scenes. We have several local standouts from the opera scene. Alex Shoney, Melissa Bonetti is performing with us, Tom Dries and Tom Mariner, Ben Flanders, Catherine Zajac. We have, one of my favorite features of this is we've cast Dana Punt and Pedro Willis Barbosa in this, who are a married couple locally. This is actually the first time that they will be performing opposite each other in a scene in The Last Night of the World, which I think is sort of both exciting for them, and it's a little bit emotional because, of course, they're discussing that it's the last night of the world. Zach's language, I mean, it's interesting because his language seems very much based in a lot of jazz and popular idioms, but I feel like he stretched himself into opera, and the singers obviously bring that sensibility, and it's a really cool fusion.
And the fusion is working because in Cincinnati, you get to say those magic words, is Julie around? Meaning Julie Spangler, who's taken on herself making Zach's music and ideas intelligible to this cast.
Yeah.
And they're getting it. Plus, there are then 3 people who only speak. So there are 3 tellers in this piece.
Yeah. In my selfish way, Julie has been the most important part of the team. She's been amazing making this happen.
So Naomi Lewin, is coming back to Cincinnati to be one of the tellers. Okay. Keisha Kemper, who grew up here and now is an actor in New York, is coming back to be one of the tellers. So somehow it's also a reunion, all of this. I mean, here's Kelvin back, here's Naomi back, here's Keisha back. So they're tellers.
So are there hopes for future performances after this brief run?
I think so. A lot of our Concert Nova productions are clearly one-off. This is so much intense work, and it promises to be so rewarding that I really hope that that can happen. And thus far, the Bradbury Estate has been very helpful and accommodating. Obviously, it's a big project. It's a famous work, and there are apparently film rights that have to be considered when we're looking at performance rights for it. But I'm hopeful that this will have a life past these performances, yeah.
Thanks, Ted Nelson, Zach Greenberg, and Michael Burnham. Performances of the Bradbury Tattoos are 6 and 8 p.m. Friday, July 13th, and 5 and 8 p.m. on Sunday, July 22nd at Memorial Hall. You can find out more by going to our website, wvxu.org/aroundcincinnati. I'm Ann Ehrenstein.